Tony, thank you very much for your warm welcome. I'd like to correct you on one point. Things have changed. The English football team is really good. And have even beaten Germany. So you can cut that out of your introduction next time. Anyway, thank you for having me here again, and thank you all for coming. I'm going to be speaking about the story that we heard in the reading, how Moses in the desert saw the burning bush, and he saw an angel, and he heard the voice of God, and he received a task. The story of how Moses experienced God. For us, it's November. The days are getting shorter. It starts becoming dark already at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And all we hear in the news is gloom and doom, climate change, global warming, and, of course, above all, the fourth wave of corona. This is precisely the time that we could do with an experience of God. It would be a time where we could really enjoy hearing God talking. It would encourage us, build us up, and give us more joy in this dismal time of the year. To hear God talking. Have you heard God talking recently? If I was to come down with a microphone and interview you on that subject, I think I'd probably hear a variety of answers. Perhaps some would say, God talking? No, I don't believe in that kind of God. He's in everything somehow, but he doesn't speak to me personally. Or I might hear, yes, he speaks to me regularly, especially when I read the Bible or pray. Or another answer, sometimes if I listen, I hear God speaking through nature, or perhaps through other people that I meet. What I probably wouldn't hear is, oh yes, only the other day I was walking through the woods and I saw this bush which was on fire, and the fire didn't go out, and the voice came out of it, and God had a personal message for me. Well, I hope I'm not wrong about that, but if I am, and you have had that experience, I invite you heartily to come up here and continue with the sermon. There are many and different ways of experiencing God. But what we read in this text from Exodus doesn't realistically seem to be one of them for us. It's a shame, really. We hear this story from the Bible and we think, how wonderful that Moses encountered God in this way. But it's not my world, not my everyday reality. And if we've seen the film The Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille, with all the Hollywood special effects, then we might think this is even further away from us. We're in a different league. As Americans would say, we're in a different ball game. And reading a story like this, with these very clear things that God reveals to Moses, can leave us a little depressed or even a bit doubtful. Is this what experiencing God is supposed to be about? In this sermon, I'm going to try, at least, to bring the story of Moses experiencing God and the reality of our everyday lives a little bit closer together. Because Moses definitely experienced something that changed his life and altered the course of history for the people of Israel. And although we're probably not going to change the course of German history, there are certain elements in this story which show that encountering God is equally possible and accessible and available to us. And that depends to a large extent on the way in which we read the text. And if you want to consult the text while I'm speaking, we have it printed here on our sheet. The first thing I would say is, forget the Hollywood version. At least put that version of things on one side. And for a minute or two, think about the way in which we or other people that we know about experience God today. And just as importantly, think about how we would describe that. Now, I believe that every now and then we experience something in life that goes beyond the normal. It doesn't happen every day, perhaps only a few times in our life. But maybe something that happened at a turning point in our lives. How would we describe that sort of experience? We might say, for example, I had a very strong sense of God's presence. Or, it was as though an angel was protecting me. Or maybe there was a time when you felt that God was actually speaking to you, not in the indirect way we have when we read the Bible, but a more intense and more personal way. We didn't hear a voice in a bush, but still there was no doubt that it was somehow God speaking, because it seemed to come from a different place. It wasn't of my own making. Is this sort of experience so very different from that which Moses experienced? It's just that as a modern Christian living in the 21st century, I would describe it differently. I would use the words like or as though, not because I'm overcautious or skeptical, but because I know that we can only speak about God by using metaphors and comparisons. We sang, or mumbled into our masks this morning, the song, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. And when it comes to talking about God, we can only use these sorts of negative words, what he isn't, or we can describe him in comparison with positive things that we know. So God in the Bible and for us today can be like a father, like a mother, like a shepherd with his flock. We can only talk about God in this way. Now it might well be that Cecil B. DeMille got it right after all. And it really was a fantastic, astounding experience for Moses at that time. But for me, when I read this text and put in the words, like an angel, or it was as if God was speaking to me, the story suddenly becomes less remote and much, much closer. And suddenly I begin to discover things in this story which are relevant to the way in which I might experience God today. So let's look at some of those things. What led to Moses encountering God? Is there something that he did that prepared the way? Two answers to this question. The first answer is that Moses went beyond. Now this word beyond doesn't come up in our text at the beginning. He led the flocks to the far side of the desert. But in the Hebrew text, the word beyond takes a central role. He went beyond the familiar. He'd been looking after the sheep of his father-in-law for many, many years. And he probably knew the grazing areas in the desert like the back of his hand. But on this occasion, he went beyond the familiar, beyond what he already knew. Nowadays, we would talk about leaving our comfort zone. the things that we know well and feel secure in, the daily rituals, the people that we know, the journeys we undertake, the books that we read, and many other things belong to our comfort zone. God can, of course, be with us in the familiar things, but the text here reminds us that we sometimes need to move out of the familiar to experience God's presence. What could that mean for me, for you? Perhaps doing something you wouldn't normally do. A journey that you have occasionally thought of undertaking, but each time the idea was rejected. Too strenuous, too risky, too far. That's the voice of the comfort zone speaking. Perhaps calling somebody up on the phone or sending a mail, someone you haven't seen for a long time because there was something somehow difficult between you. But recently, the name of this person and his face or her face has come into your mind on several occasions. Going beyond. Or perhaps for you, the fact that you are here today is an example of going beyond. Beyond the comfort zone of staying at home, being safe and secure from any infections, coming out and joining in this service. But perhaps you can find your own example of what it might mean for you to move beyond like Moses did. The second thing that Moses did was that he opened his eyes and ears to what was around him. He didn't wander absent-mindedly through the day, thinking about what he was going to have for dinner or what he had for breakfast or what the next day might bring. He was keenly aware of what was going on around him, so much that he saw immediately that this bush was showing something different from what he already knew. Of course, he could have said, "Oh, nothing unusual. In the scorching heat of the desert, it's often the fact that bushes catch fire." But he didn't. He stood there, and he listened, and he saw an angel. He sensed a presence. Sometimes we are so lost in our thoughts that we don't see the beauty around us. In the last few weeks, the amazing colors of the autumn leaves, so many different shades of orange and yellow and brown that our language struggles to find the words for them. Amber, russet, copper, so many different shades of color. And then to stand still and look and listen to the birds, to the breeze, to the person with me, and perhaps to hear something more, something beyond these sounds, a presence that we would not normally notice. The Canadian poet and songwriter and singer Leonard Cohen, who died 5 years ago, wrote shortly before his death a very simple poem which fits to the message of our sermon today. Listen to the hummingbird. The hummingbird is a colibri. Listen to the hummingbird whose wings you cannot see. Listen to the hummingbird. Don't listen to me. Listen to the butterfly whose days but number 3. Listen to the butterfly. Don't listen to me. Listen to the mind of God, who does not need to be. Listen to the mind of God. Don't listen to me. Just as Moses went beyond, physically, beyond the desert, in his listening and looking, he also went beyond and saw deeper. And this is the invitation for us today. It doesn't have to be in the natural world. It can be an encounter with another person. It can be listening to a piece of music. It can even be preparing a meal. To stand still, to look, and to listen. These are things that can open us up to God's presence. This is what we can do to prepare the way for an experience of God. But I'd like to close my sermon with two or three things that God does in this encounter. And I think this is, for me, the encouraging part of the message. Firstly, he speaks to Moses personally. It's a characteristic of biblical encounters that there is always a very personal element about them. The story of Samuel in the temple being called, or Saul on the road to Damascus, called by name. Many people today concede that there is a God, or that there could be a God, but many people's idea of God is universal, a God who inhabits every atom of existence, but is in no way personal. The biblical depiction of God seems to be different. This is a God that knows Moses by name and even speaks it twice. Moses, Moses. And perhaps if we took time to really listen, not fill our prayer time with words and thoughts, but listen into the silence, we might even hear God calling our name. God speaks to Moses personally. Secondly, he gives Moses a task to go back to Egypt and help to free the children of Israel. And again, we see a particular characteristic of biblical encounters here. I can't think of any example where God speaks to somebody and tells him to leave his world and spend the rest of his life in the desert meditating. Occasionally, this happens as a preparation for a ministry, as when Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. But generally, people are spoken to by God, given a task, and sent back into the reality of their everyday lives. And so it is here. God says to Moses, go back to your people with a message of hope and freedom. Go back to your people and free them from slavery, from the bondage of Egypt. This is going to take quite a while for Moses to do, and that isn't mentioned in the story here. But when God tells Moses to go back, what this means is enduring the 10 plagues of Egypt and all sorts of disappointments on the way. And these 10 plagues included environmental catastrophes and strange illnesses, which could already be the link to our world today. I believe that when we encounter God, in some ways, he gives us a task. He sends us back. Go back into your world, into your relationships, into your loneliness, into your illness, into your old age, into the work that you're doing. But to go back with a message of hope. Moses is going to help free the people of Israel. And God gives us today a message of hope to take back into the world. These things that depress us, that oppress us, will not have the last word. They will come to an end. Moses is spoken to personally. He's given a task. And finally, God tells Moses, actually in the verse that I left out here, in verse 12, you will not be alone. I will go with you. It might seem that you're on your own sometimes, but I am there. And this is a message that's underlined by Jesus himself at the end of Matthew's Gospel. go into the world and preach the message of hope. And I will be with you always. And this is the point in the sermon where I say, I will now stop talking. Don't listen to me, but listen to God. And I'd like to invite us just for 1 or 2 minutes, if you'd like to close your eyes or leave them open and look at the light and the candles. Just take 1 or 2 minutes to listen, to see if we can hear something beyond what we normally hear. I will close off this time of meditation with a brief Amen. Amen.